Good evening. Welcome to a very special episode of Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom on the program tonight. A special interview with the country's top government epidemiologist, Dr. Jayaprakash Mulikal. What he will tell you, and you'll see that interview later on this program, may come as a huge shock. Everyone will get Omicron. It's just a matter of time. The boosters will not make any difference. Is it enough for us to be resigned to our fate? Is this the policy leaning towards very controversial herd immunity that the government is essentially pushing? But first, we'll also be joined by the senior Aam Aadmi Party leader, Atishi, one of the most articulate voices in this government, on the Delhi government's decision to implement work from home, among many other steps, as far as dealing with the COVID outbreak in Delhi is concerned. So, work from home for Delhi, is this enough? Or does Delhi now need to ultimately get into a lockdown situation? But let's go straight across to Atishi now. Firstly, Atishi, there is a graded response system which already exists in Delhi to deal with COVID. You've not necessarily followed all of the protocols thus far because hospitalization rates have been relatively lower. But given the numbers, Atishi, that we are seeing now and the transmissibility, is Delhi headed to a lockdown?
I think, Vishnu, whether to have a lockdown or whether to not have a lockdown is always a very difficult balance. Because on the one side, you have the health risk and the medical risks that people face. But on the other side, there is also a very serious economic and livelihood risk as well. So what happens is that the first people to get hit by a lockdown are daily wage earners, construction workers, unorganized labor. And we have seen in the experience of two lockdowns that we have, that one reaches a situation where there's a very large number of people who do not even have food to eat. And right. Therefore, making those arrangements. And I remember in the first lockdown when ration had to be provided, when food centers had to be opened across the city, those then became hotspots where COVID was actually spreading. So therefore, it's a very complex situation. Second, even in terms of the economy, once the economy goes into a downward spiral, even when you reopen after a lockdown, it's not as if that the economy immediately picks up. It takes a lot of time for the economy to get back on track. So therefore, it is definitely a challenging situation. This is the reason why on a trial basis, work from home has been introduced. But the reason that we are not immediately heading into a lockdown is because, and one of the reasons why the graph has not been implemented just as per the positivity rate, is because hospitalization is very low. Mm. In comparison to the wave when we had the second wave in April, hospitalizations at the number of cases that we are having these days was almost as high as the number of cases we had. So when on the day that we had 20,000 cases, there were almost 20,000 beds occupied. Yeah. And it was not as just that the 20,000 beds occupied, there were many more people who needed beds, correct, but actually did not have beds.
Yes. Atishi, how concerned are you about doctors falling unwell? Because with greater transmissibility, doctors are getting infected in hospitals as well. So therefore, the bench strength in our hospitals in Delhi going down. We've seen significant numbers in Delhi, in AIIMS and elsewhere. Is that a worry?
No, absolutely. It is definitely a matter of concern, especially since it is the healthcare workers and the frontline workers who are the first to take a hit. And not just in India, but in across the world, we have seen that mortality rates for healthcare workers and frontline workers have definitely been higher than the general populace because they are, after all, at the frontline. But that is also the crisis that we face in a pandemic. I mean, we are living through extremely unusual times. I don't think that in living history, anyone who is alive today, even the oldest people who are alive, have not seen anything like this. But I think as a government, we are keen to avoid a lockdown as far as possible. Because as I said, the costs of a lockdown are extremely high. And it is the most marginalized sections of society, it is the poorest of the poor, who get extremely hard hit if there is a lockdown.
It is surprising, isn't it, Atishi? Our grandparents, some of them who were old enough, would have remembered the consequences of the Second World War. But if we look at the scourge and what the number of people who've died across the world, in our own city in Delhi, across our country, it's just unbelievable what we are going through. No, I completely agree with you on this. I think a lot of people want to know how much longer this is going to continue, because on our program last night, on one of our programs, the health minister of Delhi actually said that he expects things to start getting better within the next couple of days, perhaps in the next week or so. Is that the trend that you're likely to see?
So, Rishnu, the positivity rate as on today is almost 26-27%. Even in the Delta wave, the positivity rate at its peak was 33%. And after the 33% mark, the cases did start going down and did stay at almost 0.1% for more than a 6 to 8 month period.
Yep.
So, yes, while cases are increasing very fast, I think that so far, nowhere across the world has the positivity rate really gone above 33-35%. So yes, we are hopeful. But I think that the good thing, the fortunate thing is that while people, yes, are getting COVID, I mean, entire families, offices, workplaces are down, cases fortunately do not seem to be that severe. And I think the reason behind that is not just that I don't think we can say it's a mild strain. It is because of the extensive vaccination that people have had. And I think that has really contributed to the fact that this strain of COVID Omicron has had relatively milder impact. Second, I think even for healthcare workers and frontline workers, we would like to urge them to try and get their precautionary shot, their booster dose as soon as possible. Because I think that is really what will keep the frontline workers and healthcare workers going.
Atishi, are you like some relying on the zero positivity rate in Delhi prior to Omicron? The fact that some government data seems to suggest that a large number of people in Delhi and elsewhere were infected. So there is natural immunity. Add to that the fact that many have been vaccinated two doses. Then you already have some sort of inherent protection. Is that what you're relying on? In other words, some form of herd immunity.
I think Vishnu, frankly, as far as the pandemic is concerned, that is really all that we can be relying on. And one is the immunity that comes from the disease. Second is the immunity that comes from vaccination. Delhi has almost 100% coverage of first dose vaccination, touching 80% plus, I think 85%, for second dose vaccination as well. Now, on a daily basis, more than 50,000 young people in the age group of 15 to 17 are also getting vaccinated. So I think definitely as far as, of course, epidemiologists would be better equipped to discuss this than us. But I do think that really that is herd immunity is the only way out of a pandemic. So
it comes with a lot of consequences, Atishi, among those who can't protect themselves, who are older. Again, our parents, you know, and those, it's a bit of a worry. But let's hope things get better. I'm only interrupting because, you know, I'm out of time on this. But I think a lot of questions which you've raised are something that comes up in the interview that comes up next with India's top epidemiologist, Dr. Mulikal. Before we go across to him, a lot of questions on Ku. Sadhu writes in and says, Vishnu, the question for me. Guidelines, laws and curfews, ban, fines, laws on gathering for marriage are for the common person, but not for the government or political parties or elections. Why? I couldn't agree more. There appear to be double standards. No political party following COVID guidelines. Sanjana says there is no evidence that asymptomatic patients don't spread COVID. New questions are being relaxed for labs, but stressful for people. Testing is not for diagnosis. Equally important to prevent a widespread of COVID. Unfortunately, it appears that these Omicron numbers may already be far higher than what we would like to believe. Why do I say so? Listen to this interview with Dr. Jayaprakash Mulikal, the country's top government epidemiologist. Are the numbers that we are reporting anywhere close to where we actually are? Do the boosters at this stage, can they help us? Why haven't they been rolled out so far? What have we learned so far? And is this herd immunity the only way that we are going to go? Joining us now, a very special guest, Dr. Jayaprakash Mulikal, epidemiologist and chairperson of the Scientific Advisory Committee of the National Institute of Epidemiology at the Indian Council of Medical Research. Sir, first question, because a lot of people are asking about this, why should healthy contacts of COVID patients not test for COVID themselves?
I think we have a frame of mind set in the early days of COVID entering India. At that time, the whole focus was on elimination. So find the case, isolate. That was a rule those days. That evolved along quite unnecessarily. But if you remember, ICMR had much earlier came out with the directive saying you only test those who are affected, right. Symptomatic.
Right.
However, most state governments went on to check contacts and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. Didn't make any difference, finally, the evolution of the disease. Now, the focus need to change dramatically because we are dealing with quite a different virus. It's much milder than Delta, as you all know. Not only that, it is practically unstoppable and it spreads very fast. But that is not the main issue. The issue is that the consequence of a viral infection is just like that of a cold. So given that background, I think we have to recognize that we have been chasing a particular kind of objective so far. Now, the objective of elimination...
I'm sorry, Dr. Mulyal, did you just say that this is a disease which, Omicron, which presents itself just like the cold?
Absolutely.
Sir,
that is exactly the
there are hundreds, there are thousands of patients with Omicron who would suggest that the symptoms that they face are far more severe than just a common cold. Yeah, even in this particular case, O2 saturation does dip, perhaps not catastrophically. There is a jump in oxygen beds in hospitals. There is a jump even in oxygen in ventilator beds in ICUs in hospitals. It may not be as severe as Delta, but it's not a common cold, sir. That's not what people who have gotten this say at all, because many have recovered.
Very good. That is exactly what it is. Maybe when I'm trying to get to you the important point which made the change in the decision, you should remember, first of all, I said it's almost unstoppable.
Right.
Because it's highly infectious.
Right.
If it comes in, majority of us will not know we have been infected. Probably more than 80% will not even know we are
infected. Dr. Mulyal, have we given up on, you know, our COVID policy that is it now inevitable that we'll all get it? Is that what you're saying?
That is correct. It's so infectious, much more infectious than Delta. But the consequences are quite different. A few will get hospitalization
compared
to Delta. We have to have a frame of mind that we accept that. It is not a frightening disease anymore. Omicron is a disease we can deal with.
So we are all going to get Omicron. You're saying this.
Exactly.
But the chances are that all of us will end up getting it in a finite period of time.
That's correct.
So one question, therefore, and because this does open a can of worms, can't direct contacts of COVID patients infect others if they don't test themselves? For example, if there's a healthy person, a caregiver of, say, their parents, right? Omicron is so transmissible, that individual picks it up, the young person who's healthy, maybe asymptomatic, maybe mildly symptomatic, they go out into society and they end up infecting possibly senior citizens or those with comorbidities. We have a burden of comorbidities in India, sir, for all sorts of reasons. Are we therefore not letting our guard down?
Yes, that is an expected question from everybody. The point is that there is a way we can block certain infection. And this particular respiratory infection, the rate of infection is so high mm-hmm. and so rapid. Mm-hmm. You know, the doubling time for this virus is 2 days. So we are talking about extremely infectiousness. And by the time you pick up a person, has got a disease, he's already infected a large number. So even when you test, you're far, far behind. It is not something that will make any difference in the evolution of the epidemic. Everywhere, the story is same.
Right.
Rapid climb. So given that,
yes.
The only thing is, we could go for very hard measures and just lock down the whole thing and sit inside the house. How long? And also, even that won't make a difference.
Right.
But the point we have to remember, in the when you compare Delta and Omicron, it's such a milder disease.
Right.
You have to emphasize again and again.
Right.
Just to change the mindset of the people. Because we are still...
So it's not milder for those with comorbidities. It's not milder for those with kidney disease, with heart disease, with diabetes, and a plethora of comorbidities. The numbers in our country, sir, respectfully, with these cases, and it's not limited only to those who are 60 plus, right? We are not a very healthy people,
no,
let's face it.
I'll try to explain it. You know, remember the graphs we used to see in the beginning with the age-specific curve.
Yes.
It goes exponentially up.
Yes.
Very high, old age, you have high mortality. Now, the interesting thing about Omicron is that curve has come down in all age groups.
Right.
The young had mild, there was very few in hospitalization.
Right.
Even less than that. Even in the older age group, it has come down. Uncontrolled diabetes and things like that are still a problem. And in fact, the precaution they have to take continues in terms of personal protection. But it is a huge shift in the mortality pattern.
Okay.
And that has to be explained to people, because how long do we have this fear looming over us?
So Dr. Bulyal, my next question, without more tests or ramping up tests, because tests as a percentage of the rise in cases is just a fraction. The tests are not nowhere in the ballpark of keeping up with the jump in cases. Now, without more tests, how will India gauge the true spread of Omicron? How will epidemiologists like you do your jobs as epidemiologists if you don't have the most basic data of all? How many?
We have learned to live with it, because even when Delta was around, we always multiply the number of cases picked up by about 30 to get the real number. This particular one, we just have to increase the 30 to probably 60.
Mm-hmm.
That is the difference, because such a large number is subclinical, will never come to anybody's notice. Even the person will not know. So that is a reality. So we have to stop counting the virus. In medicine, viral infection, in fact, isolation of virus from a person is not equal to disease. Disease is something and infection is different. In the case of HIV, we used to equate it, because invariably in HIV, they used to fall ill subsequently. But in all other viral infection, majority of people would get subclinical infection.
Right.
And that doesn't pose a public health hazard.
So Dr. Mulyal, the numbers we come out with daily, X number of Omicron cases, and that number is never right because it takes days for the sequencing number, so it's always inaccurate if it's reported on a daily basis, or X number of COVID cases, shall we just forget all of these numbers right now because the numbers are so large that the real numbers are not being reflected?
I think the problem with this, most people look at this graph and the eyes shine when you see it going up or down. Now, these are just some sort of a data we have been gathering, and we always knew it. We got stuck with from the beginning. We are still looking at those numbers. Now, one thing I'll tell you, for ordinary people, it's very easy to look at the number of RT-PCR positive. Okay?
Yes.
And those number, if you look at it itself, you'll know, after the deltas, the reduction, whatever rise that occurred is all due to Omicron, whether you do the testing or, confirm it. There's no need to confirmation. It is Omicron all the way.
Right.
And so that itself will tell you. And the beauty is, with that crude line, when it starts falling, we are reaching the end point.
Right. So the numbers going up now in terms of the statistics, are you suggesting we ignore it?
No, I'm saying that it will be there because we are used to seeing it. It is nowhere near the truth. But the shape of the curve going up and coming down.
Is all that we need to worry about.
That's right.
Because it's nowhere near the truth. It's nowhere near the actual number.
No. Nowhere near the number.
What percentage of the number do you believe is being shown right now?
See, the earlier we used to calculated for the delta, that is, we see about 1 in 30. In Omicron, it must be somewhere between 1 in 60 and 1 in 90.
This is
guesswork, because subclinical infections have gone up. Okay,
right.
That is the reason. But, you know, unless you start measuring this on everybody, like UK and Europe have schemes by which citizens are expected to test themselves and report. That kind of mechanism will give you the curves, which is truer.
Which wasn't being followed in the UK, and it's not being followed here in India with home test kits. Let's face it, sir. We will never know how many people with home test kits have actually tested positive, because people are not downloading the app and they're not putting the data over there.
Absolutely.
No, I take that point. We aren't getting the actual data. Next question, sir. It's question number 5. Should boosters for all be a key part of fighting COVID? Why aren't we boosting, sir? No, I'm not talking about comorbidity cases. I'm saying boost everybody after 6 months of their second dose.
Well, there is a philosophy world over that natural infection doesn't impart any lasting immunity.
Right.
Now, that is a philosophy which I think is wrong. And many like me also there who fight, saying that, no, this once infected, and I have said influenza, people don't know this. When you get a natural infection, you have lifelong immunity. Measles, when you get a natural infection, you get lifelong immunity.
But Dr. Mulyal, if you are to suggest that natural infections give us lifelong immunity, are you suggesting, therefore, that the vaccines don't have any role?
I did not say that.
Okay.
The vaccines work because the original virus is naturally immunogenic. And you take it from that. If that was not so, your vaccines also won't work that easily. Here, every vaccine works brilliantly. Except in India, we got the vaccine after 85% of the population have been already been infected. Correct? You know
right.
that.
Yes, absolutely. Are we now waiting for 100% of our population to be Omicron infected before we roll out the boosters?
We don't have any other option saying this, whether you give booster or not.
It makes
Omicron
no difference.
Omicron infection will occur. It has occurred all over the world, regardless of this.
Then why is everybody else giving a booster, sir? Why has the United Kingdom gone crazy giving boosters to everybody they can? Why?
Yep. You're probably asking the wrong person, but I didn't order it.
Or other countries, virtually every other country in the world. Israel is on to their fourth booster or something like that.
Yeah. Obviously, the third booster didn't work. They are giving the fourth booster, right?
Right.
So I think it's an option. And the people who have had most of the immunity from vaccination are not doing as well as countries like India, which has done most of the immunity obtained from natural infection. Okay? Now, in the case of Omicron, it doesn't matter because it ignores the previously acquired immunity from the original virus.
Right.
It's a new breed completely.
Right.
So, one more thing you have to know is, even if I said so, those people who have been either exposed to natural infection or the vaccine, their clinical outcomes are better. So let us think of a person, an elderly man, who has taken two doses. And it so happened he was on some drug, he was not well, it didn't have a take. So this precautionary dose, not a booster, precautionary dose may help in at least introducing the antigen. So that his
but
body
Dr. Mulyal, how have we assumed that only 60 plus individuals have comorbidities in this country? Why can't 40 plus individuals have comorbidities? We have so many heart patients in very young ages in this country. Why aren't they being given a precautionary dose either.
The thing is, precautionary dose is given for people with a high risk of immunological non-response. Just because you have a heart disease
or diabetes,
it doesn't usually mean immunologically incompetent. On the other hand, some other condition, like, you know, there is, for example, people on waiting for renal transplant, they are all quite a lot immunological depression. So the point is that Omicron doesn't, it ignores your infection, immunization and infects, but immunization reduces the risk of bad outcome. I said that much. Now we are asking, why don't you give every person that is available who is a risk factor? Now, they already received two doses.
Yes.
Now let us think of the two doses. First dose came for most people after they had been infected, because 85% were infected.
No, but that what about those who didn't, sir? I mean, I'm just one citizen in this country, but I had my second dose about 9 months back. On the very first day that I could, I got my first dose. On the very day I could, I got my second dose. It's been way more than 6 months and I can't get it. Is that fair? Is it fair to individuals who say that they will buy their vaccine just to protect themselves? Is it not their right to do so?
Well, there are two views that we have to look at. On one hand, there is restrictions on people